do count it a great blessing and a great honor to be able to come to this part of the country and to visit with you this weekend. I've really been looking forward to it, Sister Bonnie and I, and Sister Holly, and very thankful that the time has arrived and we were able to make the trip safely, and heard so very much about you over in this area, and we're very thankful to come and to be able to meet this precious church family. And you have just made us feel so much at home, and all your labors and efforts to make us comfortable for this weekend's meeting are just so much appreciated by us. And it's just so wonderful to meet you and to learn a little bit about your history and your story here and your testimony in the Lord Jesus Christ and your faithfulness here to be a beacon and a light here in your local community. And we're thankful for that opportunity to come and to meet you. And we have so much enjoyed the weekend thus far and the services. I've especially enjoyed getting to hear Brother Sam's preaching again and to see him again. And it had been some time since we'd seen each other, and it's always good to renew old friendships such as we have. And do ask an interest in your prayers tonight. Been thinking a little bit in the last day or two about something that the Apostle Paul found when he went to Athens. It said that when he was at Athens, one of the things that he found there was that apparently all the inhabitants in that place, it says that in Acts chapter 17 and in verse 21, it says, all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. It says not only all the Athenians, but it says all the strangers that were there with them said they were all involved and had the same interest. They all either wanted to be telling a new story or they wanted to hear something new. And I wonder, you know, if we're not like that from time to time. I guess new things might maybe tickle our ears a little bit, and sometimes maybe we feel like life gets a little bit boring or a little bit routine occasionally. And I guess I confess I like to hear something new from time to time. But these people, that's all they wanted to do. They always wanted to hear something new. And I really believe the Apostle Paul, I believe one of the gifts that the Lord gave him was a good insight to human nature. I believe Paul had a great, deep insight into human nature and just how it is that the average person tends to think. I believe that's one of the gifts that God gave him. One of the things made me think about that is when you get over in Acts chapter 20 and you find that the Apostle Paul was in Miletus and he had called all the elders from Ephesus to come to him. And when they got there, what he said to them in verse 28 was this. He said, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. I believe that Paul knew that his time of departure from this world was not that far away. And I believe as that time began to approach in Paul's life, that it began to weigh on him and it began to bear on him that exactly what was going to transpire and take place after he was gone. Paul spent the second half of his life giving and being spent in the service of God. And when we look at what the Apostle Paul did in terms of preaching the gospel and what he endured to try to go and to preach the gospel that God's people might be able to hear it and to be saved from an untoward generation, it makes me ashamed sometimes that I have not made more of an effort in my life to go to church and to serve God when I consider what the Apostle Paul endured. He said, I endure all things for the elect's sake. And he truly did that. But he says, I know something. I know that after my departing, which I believe he felt to be near, he says, I know that grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And he says, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Paul had a great fear of what was going to happen. Paul, I believe he had a great fear, knowing how much people want to hear something new, how susceptible they are to someone coming in and trying to teach them something new that would undermine what he had already established and what he had already preached. I believe Paul feared that. He says, I know that after I depart, he says, this is going to happen. Men not only will come in and like a grievous wolf, he says, will not spare the flock. In other words, the things that they're doing, they're not for the benefit of God's people. Right. They're not for the flock. He says, in fact, they won't spare the flock. And he says, worse than that, of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things. Paul worried about that. I believe Paul, as his life began to draw towards an end here in this world and his earthly ministry was drawing to an end, we see his concern for God's people, and we also see his concern for his fellow ministers. What really got me thinking about this a little bit in the last day or two is some of the things that the Apostle Paul said to young Timothy. This was on Paul's mind. He told Timothy, and I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and starting with verse 13, this is what he told Timothy. Well, if you were to back up to the beginning of chapter 3 here, he tells Timothy this. He says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And he begins to give a long laundry list here of characteristics that men are going to have at this time, and none of them are good. None of them. A great long list of characteristics and attributes that are unholy and are not good and have nothing to do with the benefit of the flock. And he gives that long list. And he sort of sums it up down in verse 13, and he says this, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In other words, Paul says, there are some men out there that all they're concerned about is trying to deceive someone, and he says, while they're doing it, they're only deceived themselves. He said, their whole life, they're deceived by others, and then they in turn turn around and they continue the pattern and they deceive other people as well. He says that's what they do. Evil men and seducers, he says, they shall wax worse and worse. But look what he says to Timothy. This is so endearing to me. You can just see the love. You can feel the love that Paul has for this young minister, Timothy. He says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Timothy, these other men are going to do these other things. Perilous times are going to come. And these men are going to act like this. And he gave this long list of things that are so, we don't want to be around people like that. He gives that list, but he says, Timothy, I want you to do something else. He says, I want you to continue. Whatever path of action you've been on and you've been with me, he says, I want you to continue, Timothy. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. I want you to continue it in two ways. He says, number one, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that's important. And then secondly, he says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, He says, you have known the scriptures from an early age. From the time of your childhood, someone taught you these scriptures. Now, I guess I can't prove this, but I'll tell you, I have a strong suspicion of who it was. I have a great suspicion that it was his mother and his grandmother that spent a lot of time teaching young Timothy the scriptures. We read about what Paul has to say about them back in the first chapter, and he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Your mother and your grandmother had an unfeigned faith. I'll tell you, if I have ever been accused of having any faith, I hope it's this type of faith. I hope that my faith is unfeigned. In other words, I hope that it's not put on. I hope that it's not some shell of a faith that I've somehow put forward, and it sometimes looks like real faith to some, but then at other times it's not real. I hope that my faith is not like that. I hope that all of our faith is unfeigned, every one of us here tonight, and I believe that it is. You wouldn't be here on your on a Saturday evening and a Saturday morning afternoon as we met earlier. You wouldn't be here this weekend if your faith was shallow and was not real. Your faith is unfeigned. And he says your mother and your grandmother, their faith was like that. And we learn from Acts chapter 16 that Timothy's father was a Greek, but his mother was a Jew. And I strongly suspect that it was his mother and his grandmother that took time to teach Timothy the scriptures. Do you feel like it's important tonight that we take time to teach our little ones the scriptures? Do you think that's worthy of our time and the effort that it takes to set aside a little bit of the day and to be able to teach them some of the scriptures that you and I hold so dearly and we love so much? I believe that it is. I believe that it is so critically important today that we as parents would do that. I'll tell you, it's probably no way that Lois and Eunice, as they were teaching that young man the scriptures at a very early age. You know, and it's so easy too. I'm sure many of his friends were off playing and doing other things, and I'm sure that they probably made him stay at home and learn some of the scriptures. It probably wasn't Timothy's idea that he do that, but I'm sure they insisted. You know, I think we as parents need to do that sometimes. We need to be a little stronger, don't we? We need to step up, and we need to insist that our children learn the scriptures. It'll serve them so well. They're his mother and his grandmother. They had no way to know the benefit and how these basic learning of the scriptures would profit him in years to come. But Paul told him, he says, you've known the scriptures from an early age. He says, I want you to continue in the things that you've learned. He says, and I believe one of the reasons that he tells him that you have known the scriptures from such an early age like that, one of the reasons he tells him that is because it's so important that the things that he heard the Apostle Paul speak were backed up by the scriptures. You see that? And as Brother Sam mentioned this morning about those Bereans over there, and those noble Bereans, that they search the scripture daily to see if these things be so. That's what you and I need to do. You know, some people think it's only the preacher's job to search the scriptures and to study the scriptures, but I'll tell you, friends, I don't believe that. I believe it's all of our responsibility to search the scriptures to see if these things be so. Do you know who Paul said where the pillar and ground of the truth lies? Who did he say? Did he say it's the preacher? No, he said it's the church. You, the church of the living God, you're the pillar and ground of the truth. How are you going to be the pillar and ground of the truth if we don't know what this book says? Amen. You see that? We have to study this. This book is our only guide and our only source of our doctrine and our practice and those things that we teach and we do. It's this book is what's important. It's what this book says is what is important to you and I in terms of worship and true worship that's pleasing unto God. But he says, I want you to continue in the things which you have learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Timothy learned these things from the Apostle Paul, probably along with some others. He didn't learn it the same way the Apostle Paul did. In fact, I don't know any minister today that learned these things in the manner that the Apostle Paul did. You see? Because God gave it to him by revelation. I don't know any ministers that has received knowledge about this book from revelation. Now, we do need the Lord's assistance as we read and study. God has to show us things, and he has to guide our thoughts and to guide our minds and our understanding. But I'll tell you, you have to get in here and dig it out. And you know how I learned a lot about what's in this book? It's from hearing brothers like Brother Sam Bryant and many others. It's from hearing the word preached as how we learn these things. And then going and reading and backing it up and making sure that what we're hearing is according to thus saith the word of God. That's how we learn these things. He says, it's important, Timothy, knowing of whom you have heard these things. If you back up a little bit into chapter 2, he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. It wasn't me in a dark corner in a room somewhere, Timothy. I didn't give you these things in a hidden place. He says there's been many witnesses. You have heard me proclaim these things and teach these things among many witnesses. This thing was not done in a corner. He says the things that you've heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Did you notice what he wanted Timothy to commit to other men? The same things, not some different things. You know, everybody wants to hear something new, don't they? Everybody wants to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We're so bad to do that. But you know what Paul wanted Timothy? He wanted to make sure that Timothy understood this. He wanted to make sure that he understood that it's the very same things that you heard of me, Timothy, that I want you to take, and in turn, you teach other men. He says, commit them to faithful men. And by the way, that's the only type of men who these things will do any good for, and whom you and I will receive any good from, is faithful men. We need faithful men. We need it. They needed it in Paul and Timothy's day, and we need it today. We need faithful men to preach these things, the same things. We don't need to all come gather together here and to see what new thing we can hear and explore this weekend. We do want to hear things that have been preached at this church since the day it was constituted. The same things we want to hear and preach. Now, I love to hear preachers and their gifts that God has given them to be able to approach subjects from different ways and to point out different aspects of things that I've never considered. I love that. Right. I love these golden nuggets that are buried in here. And you're so right, Brother Sam. There is no such thing as a mastery of this book. Amen. Never will be. But he says, the same things is what I want you to commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You want to know how this gospel has been communicated and how it's been handed down through the ages? It's by this way. This is by God's way right here. That's how it's done, by an unbroken chain and an unbroken thread of these ministers handing these things down, and by the laying on of hands down through the ages, through the days of the early church, all the way till now. Do you know, I believe in my heart that the things that we're trying to read and study and preach together out of this book are the same things that the apostles preached in their day. It's the same doctrine. There's no change. I love that. That is so good for you and I tonight to be able to hear the same things. Paul was very adamant about that. And he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." That is so true, is it not? He tells Timothy, now you think we're busy in our day and age, crazy busy. You think we're busy in our day and age. Paul tells Timothy the same thing right here. He just gives him a good reminder, and he says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." Now, if I could just figure out how to keep my life uncluttered from some of the affairs of this life and the things that take up our time, I'd be a whole lot better shape. If I've learned one thing in my life, and I may not have learned much, but if I've learned one thing in my life, it's this, is that simple is better.
That's right.
Simple is better. A simple life is a happy life. And he says, Timothy, if you're going to be effective in your ministry, you cannot entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. He says, if you're going to be pleasing to the one who has chosen you to be a soldier of the cross, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I like that. You back up a little bit more, we'll find similar language in verse 13, chapter 1, verse 13. Back up a little bit more. "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." He says, "That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." What did he tell Timothy? He said, "Hold fast." To me, that means hold the line, Timothy. He says, don't be wavering with every wind of doctrine and every little thought that comes along and every little happy idea that someone comes up with. He says, don't do that. He says, I want you to hold fast. "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me." That's the only kind of words that'll do you and I any good is sound words. Sound doctrine. You know, I suppose there's a lot of doctrine out in the world, but I only want to hear the sound doctrine. I only want to hear that is from thus saith the Lord, that which is designed to teach you and I how it is that we ought to conduct ourselves in the house of God and how it is that we ought to live our lives and have our conversation here in this world. Sound words. There's a lot more really that could be said about this in this subject about what Paul is telling Timothy about the importance of continuing in the things that he has learned and to continue to preach sound things. In fact, the young preacher Titus, Paul told him similar language over there in Titus chapter 2. You know what Paul said to him? He said, "Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Those are the only kind of things that you and I need to hear and that will benefit us and will encourage us. Those are the things that will edify us and lift us up and strengthen us and encourage us in our walk here in this world. Sound doctrine. I love this. He says that the aged men be sober and grave and temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience, and that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. I'll tell you, some people take a great offense that God's word says that the man, God has given the man the responsibility to teach in the church. And some people take offense at that, but you'll have to take that up with the Lord is all I can tell them. That's what God's word says. God has charged the man with getting up in a public way in the church of the living God to do the teaching in a public way. But I love this. I love this, what Paul says to Titus here, that you may, this is some of the sound doctrine that you need to teach, Titus. He says that the aged women and the women are teachers of good things. We need good things taught. Like this, such as that they may teach the young women to be sober, meaning to be wise and to be discreet and to love their husbands and love their children. You know, you almost wouldn't think that that's something you would have to teach a young woman, is that she needs to love her husband and that she needs to love her children. But you know, I believe we've come to a day and age where it needs to be taught even more. I mean, aren't we seeing the effects of it today, of children growing up in a home and not being taught these things? I think we're seeing the very effects of it today. That the women, young women need to be taught to love their husbands and to love their children. You would think it would almost be automatic that a young woman would love her child. Boy, the things we see today, we understand that's not true. They need to be taught. They need to be taught. So, and to be discreet. There's so much we could say about the subject of discretion. What did Solomon say over there in the Proverbs? He says, as a jewel of gold and a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Proverbs 11:22, I believe it is. There's so much could be said about the subject of discretion today and how appropriate that it is. I'll tell you, if there's one thing that I sort of pick up from what the Apostle Paul was telling young Timothy over here, is that we don't need a lot of change, Timothy. You need to continue. In your ministry, the focus of your ministry is to continue. You've learned the doctrine from me. You've been taught. You have the doctrine. You have the scriptures as a basis and as a proof for those things. You need to continue in those things. I'll tell you, friends, a few years back, all we ever heard every time we turned around in 2008 was that we needed change. I got so tired of hearing about we need change. And I tell you, I hope that maybe some people were satisfied that they got it, but when it comes to serving the Lord, I don't want change. I want to hear those same things. I want to try to continue down the path that Paul wanted young Timothy to continue. Remember what Jeremiah said? I'll close with this. He said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. The old paths, where is the good way? When it comes to serving the Lord, friends, God has already laid it out for us. He's already already formed His church, and He's already launched her and let her set sail out into the world. And now she is spread all over. And now here it is in Calabash, North Carolina, a beacon and a testimony and a witness here in this community. May she continue for many, many more years. And may this church continue to be blessed and her pastor, and may the Lord lead you and guide you in a perfect way, and may we continue to learn each and every time we come to His house. I hope we learn a little bit more about what's in this book, and I hope that we all in unison want to stand in the old paths and that we're not looking for something new like so many are today. May God bless you and keep you as our prayer.